It's Monday, March 13th, and this is Geek Nights. Tonight we talk about our favorite hardware.
Let's do this!
Well, we're back from a long and relaxing weekend.
The internet went out at work, and I think I said that. Did I say that already?
I don't know if you did or not. I don't remember.
Oh, no, because it was Friday, wasn't it?
I think you got confused by the fact that we recorded in a couple of extra episodes yesterday.
Or maybe was it Thursday?
I think you said it on the extra episode yesterday.
Anyway, it must have been Friday last week that the internet just didn't work at work. So, of course, I went home. No reason for me to be there.
Yeah.
And then I come in this morning, and it's still not working.
What, did they forget to pay the bill?
I don't know. I did just, they must have. I don't know. They just suck.
So why even go to work?
So I went to work this morning and it still wasn't working. So I just waited around and I called them and then it bothered them and then they brought it back up. So wasn't a wasted trip today.
All right. Well, whatever. That's kind of weird. But your company's kind of weird in general.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah. Though this will be an exciting podcast since for some reason there's a thunderstorm going on.
Awesome. My favorite variety of weather.
Yes.
The mighty Thor is outside.
Lest this become Thor Nights.
Yes. Yes. Ah, that's a super inside joke right there.
Yes, it is indeed. All right. Anyway, in the actual news, we like Ubuntu a lot. It's a Linux distribution that, for those of you who don't know, is very awesome in that it just works.
If anyone's going to use Linux, just use Ubuntu. Today, I really can't suggest anything different and not laugh.
Well, I guess my suggestion would be try to do a Gentoo at least once. You'll learn a lot, and then you'll realize how beautiful Ubuntu is when you switch to it.
Yeah, or try to install Debian and then realize realize that Ubuntu basically is the same thing as Debian, like 99%, with, you know, only crook slightly so, but it installs with, like, you push one button.
Yeah, I mean, really, Ubuntu just works in the way that, like, Windows 2000 just works. You install it, and everything's working.
Yeah, my parents use it. They got no problems.
Yeah.
They got less problems with that than they got with my brother's Windows computer.
I'd almost recommend Fedora Core if you're making a computer for an elderly relative, because it's real hard to turn off a lot of the auto-update type stuff on Fedora Core, and it's real hard to break it. Because
Ubuntu. It's a lot simpler. There's less stuff. And there's less trouble if you ever had to do something to it.
Yeah, well, anyway, use Ubuntu. It's awesome.
Or Kubuntu, if you're a KDE fan.
I'm actually not. I like my GNOME.
Yeah, whatever.
Or IceWM in the house.
Uh-huh.
All right. So anyway, the reason I bring up Ubuntu, I didn't just want to talk about how awesome it is, but apparently they were caught with their pants down with a fairly severe vulnerability.
How severe?
Well, let me put it this way. When you install any modern distro, there's usually a little installer program, and it makes a log, like, while it's going, of all the stuff you've done. You know, all the options you've picked, the root password you selected. Note that I said the root password you selected.
Well, the thing is, in Ubuntu, you don't have a root password. It chooses one for you and keeps it a secret from you.
Yeah. Well,
and
the thing
you
is,
you just use sudo all the time.
So, in Ubuntu, but you still make an account. And that account has full sudo privileges. So, effectively, you can make it root.
Yep.
Now, instead of deleting this log file, or encrypting this log file, version 5.1.0 and earlier of Breezy Badger just left it there, and any user could just look at this file and see what your password is.
You realize the permissions on this file were just anyone can read it?
That's what I'm led to believe.
And the file was not automatically deleted at the end of install?
It was supposed to be automatically deleted and was not due to a bug.
Oh, well, see, you don't really need to encrypt that sort of file, because who can get you while you're installing? I mean, yeah. While you're installing...
Well, yeah, yeah. The thing is, they didn't get rid of the file.
Oh, well, they got to shred that file right after install is done.
Well, you know what? They fixed it within hours.
And it's not a hard thing to fix.
Yeah, the thing is, they didn't even notice. Some guy in the forums posted, hey, just so you guys know, my root password, or my account password is in this file. I'm curious as to why that is. And the Ubuntu people said, oh, shit, here's a patch. And then they had an update ready.
All right, so if you're using Ubuntu, delete this file.
Yeah, look at the article.
Change your passwords.
Yeah. However, the reason I say it's a severe vulnerability is that in the off chance that you got hosed in the intervening time between when this happened or when it was discovered and when they fixed it, you're screwed.
Yeah, the only real situation I could see that happening is if you're running a multi-user Ubuntu server and one of the users who is not supposed to be root went and found the file and knew about this and then logged in as root and did some nasties.
Yeah, because basically any computer, Windows, Linux, whatever, if someone gets access to the rootest of root accounts, they can install a root kit and there's nothing you can do. And there's pretty much no way to undo that.
But anything, on the bright side, think of it, even if you're running an Ubuntu web server, right? If you're the only real user on it, if this file isn't in the web directories or the htdocs, no one's gonna figure it out. They'd have to SSH in first to get it, and if they don't have an account, they can't get the file. So it was just.
I guess I don't want to overstate this because it was definitely fixed quickly, and not many people knew about it. But I don't want to understate it because Linux isn't 100% secure.
Yeah, nothing's 100% secure.
I can make my computer 100% secure from outside attacks. I'll unplug the Ethernet cable.
Yep, that's it from outside attacks. You know, yeah. But.
Oh, from inside attacks, I'll take the processor out.
There you go. All right. So, in France, the people, they use iTunes, just like we use iTunes.
Oui, oui.
And you know that if you buy music from the iTunes Music Store, it comes in AAC format with Apple DRM.
Yep.
And it can only be played on iTunes and iPods and such.
Now, most people don't seem to have a problem with this because they have some sort of Apple fetish.
I don't seem to have a problem because I just don't buy music from the iTunes Music
Store. Yeah, that too.
I just use it normal MP3s, which work fine no matter where I go. But anyway, France is pushing through a law that says, hey, you can't lock in those songs to iPods only. You have to sell songs that'll play on anything.
Which means MP3, and there's no way to put DRM in an MP3.
Well, there is. It's just no longer an MP3.
Well, then it... I don't know what to say to that other than I gotta walk over there and hit you.
No, but anyway. it'll basically make it sort of no longer illegal to just bust DRMs and such in France and all sorts of good stuff. So,
yeah, I'd like to see what comes of this.
I think great things will come of it.
Yeah, either Apple is going to have to open up, but then the record labels are going to back away from iTunes. Or Apple's not going to open up.
Or at least the French record labels, or people just won't sell their music in France, or who knows.
I'll bet a lot of American music gets sold in France.
Yeah, but you know what would be cool is if they just stopped selling it to France? Then the people in France would just stop buying it, and they would either start pirating it the old-fashioned way, or maybe they would, you know, find some other music to listen to. Maybe French music, and then hate us more. I don't know. It's definitely good news all around.
Yep, I really want to see what happens after all this.
All right, so the second bit of news here.
Yeah, I gave Scott two newses today.
Oh, they were just such good news. There's a game called Galactic Civilizations 2, GalCiv 2.
Yep, Scott's been playing it for the last couple days.
No, I played it for one day for a few hours. That was it.
Oh, really?
But, yeah, the point is that it's basically a Master of Orion type of game, but it's new and shiny. I'll talk about it in more detail some other time.
Yeah, I assumed you played it longer because of the long, heated argument we had about that frickin' game.
No, that was our idea for how to make the game not suck. But anyway.
That'll be another Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, so if you like Master of Orion games, you'll like this game. But anyway, the game does not really have so much copy protection. I mean, you can just get the CDs from someone and install it. Not enter the serial key, the serial code to enter. Is optional. You don't have to enter it if you don't want to.
Now, this is intentional, correct?
Yep. They intentionally don't want to force you to enter the serial code when you install the game. That way, if you buy the game, you can have it on all your computers at once without having to buy more copies because they're so cool.
Now, that's a really good thing. That's about what I'd expect from a non-evil company that was selling software.
Yep. The thing is, if you enter the key, then you get automatic updates of the software, so patches and stuff will come in, and you can also, I think, play online, and there's special online network, and you know, you get all kinds of little perkies.
All right. It sounds like a game that if I liked it, I'd actually purchase it and not pirate it, just because they're so awesome.
Yep, so there was a big hubbub on the internet, or first, people were like, oh, they want you to pirate their game, they're not having copy protection. And then they were like, no, we don't want anyone to pirate our game, we just want to be cool and not be evil. You know, and then the people who do Star Force, which is the horrible, horrible game copy protection software that destroys your computer. And
yeah, these guys are evil. Doesn't World of Warcraft use it?
I don't think it does.
Some big game uses it. I forget which one.
A lot of them use it. It's kind of. Have we talked about it before?
I think we have.
Anyway, this is game copy protection software.
It's bad.
It's real bad, called StarForce. You don't want to install any game on your computer that uses StarForce, because StarForce will ruin your computer.
Not only is it bad, but the people who make it are generally jerks.
They're evil Russian guys. So what the evil Russian guys did was they said, Galactic Civilizations 2, they want you to pirate their game. Here's a link to the torrent.
Yeah, basically what they're saying is, well, you didn't want to pay us to secure your game, so up, now people are going to steal it, ha ha ha.
Yeah, anyone who doesn't use our stuff, we're going to pirate your stuff and help other people pirate your stuff.
Evil Russian guys.
That's what they are. That's what they are.
Yeah, like,
I guess. It's not even an exaggeration.
Yeah, they really are evil Russian guys. They're in Russia. They're evil.
Yep.
They might not be natively born Russians. We don't know that much about them.
Oh, okay, maybe not, but who knows. The point is that StarForce bad, Galactic Civilizations, I'll talk about some other time.
Yeah. So recently, there was a very important political movement and change in a small country.
Now, don't small countries change their politics and governments all the time?
Well, actually, this country has been under a feudalistic dictatorship. Well, basically just feudalism for the past 450 years.
Wait. You mean kings and lords and knights?
I mean kings and lords and knights and peasants.
Did they really have knights?
I don't know if they actually had knights there, but I think they had the title knight.
Did they have peasants for real?
Basically.
Really?
All right.
So you're telling me that right now somewhere there's a peasant living in like...
Not anymore, because they just discovered democracy.
But I mean, a few days ago, they were living in thatch roof cottages?
You realize that peasant is just a title.
Oh, well, that just
anyway,
sucks.
Anyway, I just thought this was neat. Now, this island has been feudalistic, like old-school feudalism, for the past 450 years. And just recently, they switched over to democracy. So now, any of the 600 residents of Sark can run for office. Now, Sark, if you don't know, is about 20 miles off the coast of France. And it's a part of the British Crown Dependency. Which, I didn't know what that meant, but apparently it means that it's owned by the Queen, but it's not a part of the United Kingdom.
So, the United Kingdom, as opposed to Britain, England, whatnot?
Alright, we can't recreate it, like we just tried to do.
No,
but before
can't.
The show, when we were talking about this, we argued for a while about the difference between England, Britain, Great Britain, the United Kingdom, and Albion.
Yeah, so I've decided to just call all of it Albion now because screw it. It's not worth it.
Yeah, I mean, England, Wales, and Scotland are all independent, and they're not countries, right?
I'm sure someone who's in Britain listening, you know, is like, oh, I know what it is. You guys are idiots for not knowing the difference. Well, you know what? I've heard multiple people from Albion disagree on what the actual things are. And you know what? The internet isn't even consistent. So
yeah, the way I'm going here is that England, Scotland, and Wales are separate, and they're not countries. Together, they're the United Kingdom. And Great Britain is the island. I don't know what Britain is, but Great Britain is the island.
But does Northern Ireland gets thrown in there?
Northern Ireland is part of Great Britain. So what? I don't... God damn.
It's all Albion. Screw you. Whatever.
Yeah, but I thought this was really cool. Apparently, Sark is a very nice place, and they get most of their money from tourism.
We should totally go on vacation to Sark.
It very much reminds me of the Duchy of Grand Fenwick.
Yeah. And I wonder if anyone will know what the hell that is besides us.
Yeah, if anyone out there knows what the Duchy of Grand Fenwick is without looking on Google, I award you something. A point of cool?
A point of cool.
You know what? I'll knight you. You can become a geek knight.
Yeah. Can you get just like in... Sark, where they still have Kinnegans.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so my thing of the day, I don't think it's funny, but it might be.
Yeah, I mean, remember
at least one part of it is funny.
There was way back when there was that kid who was playing Xbox Live, and he was yelling at his mom, and it was just this horrible, bring me chocolate milk, you bitch!
Yeah, that one. Well, this is worse, different.
Scott showed it to me, and it wasn't funny. It's just kind of disturbing.
Well, except for the one funny part is, Vice to escaping! See, that's the funny part.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, is this real? Is it fake? Is
I
it
can't even
camera?
Tell. Okay, so this is what the video is. Let me describe it to you for those who don't watch it. It's this German kid. He must be between the ages of 13 and something. I don't know. And he's at a computer. And I think he's trying to play a computer game. and he's frustrated with the game. I can't tell if it's because he's losing, or is it because he can't get the game to run?
We really can't tell. It's drowned out by his horrid screeching screams.
So he's German, and he's yelling and screaming at this game. If anyone knows German well enough, maybe you could translate what the hell he's saying. I can make out a few of the words, like Spiel means game.
And escapen.
Yeah, so he gets so pissed off and in such a fit of, like, crazy zany screaming.
Zany is not the word.
I don't know.
Zany. I don't think the word zany fits this at all.
No, hysterical?
Yeah, that's a much better word.
Okay, so he's, like, literally smashing the keyboard and the mouse and, like, at one point, like... It's just freaking me out. I don't know how someone like this can exist. This is why we need nut houses again.
It started out, and he was showing it to me, and I thought, all right, this is funny. Look, this kid is really frustrated. Aha, I've thought like that before. And then it keeps going, and it keeps going, and it just doesn't stop. And I don't know what to think. If this is real, that kid needs help. And if it's fake, well... That kid can act.
Yeah, if it's fake, that kid can act. Now, who put this camera here? How did it get there? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, maybe his brother knew that he's crazy and put that there. Maybe they're
That's a reasonable explanation.
Maybe it's fake.
Maybe it's fake.
I mean, this is like way back. There was this video online a long time ago of a guy getting hit by a car. And we sat for hours debating whether or not it was a real video or not. Mm-hmm. We ended up finding out that it was fake.
Of course.
Which we had kind of determined by going frame by frame and like, I think it's a dummy there.
Yep.
I don't know about this one. There's no frame by frame to look at. There's no dummy.
Yeah, this one is just, wow. The only thing I had to say, I already said, we need to bring back nut houses. Seriously.
You know, there are nut houses.
Oh, there are. I thought we got rid of all of them.
No, there are plenty of nut houses. You can check yourself into one if you want.
Oh, well, someone needs to check this kid into one ASAP.
You know, I really hate people who say ASAP as opposed to ASAP.
Whatever. You can shove it.
Yeah, that's why you say in SQL instead of SQL.
Oh, God, those people need to die.
Yeah.
I might go into a hysterical fit of rage.
Just don't destroy my keyboard. I need my escaping key.
Five star escaping!
See, we said it's not funny, but now we're laughing.
That's the only funny part, because he smashes the keyboard and he loses the escape key, and then he needs the escape key for whatever he's doing. He says, five star escaping!
You know what? In that point, I can only describe it as delicious irony.
Yeah. It's funny, he doesn't seem to care about losing the other keys. Wow, okay.
All right.
Watch it and be appalled, amazed, shocked.
I was less appalled by that than I was by the video we watched just before the show, which was a montage of stupid people doing stupid things and hurting themselves.
Awesome.
I'm not going to link to it. You can find it. But basically, the one that got me was there's this guy who's obviously drunk, and he has this big firework candle. And he holds it to his crotch like, haha, it's a penis. Look at me. I'm going to shoot a giant fireball out. Woo! But I think he's holding it backwards.
Yeah, it looks like it shoots a fireball into his penis.
It's one of the most horrid things I've ever seen.
Yeah, some of them are pretty bad.
All right, so anyway... I have the escaping key. So today, we're starting a new favorites week.
All right.
Actually, this is our first favorites week.
Yep. And we're going to preface all the favorites week episodes with a little spiel about what favorites week is about. Because
since a lot of people that out there are now subscribing to individual days of Geek Nights instead of the whole week.
Yeah, if you're only listening to Geek Nights SciTech, or I guess that's today, right? Monday SciTech?
Yep.
Then you might want to know that, you know, we also have shows... Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday every week that now, you can subscribe to those as well.
You might already know and not care, but in case you don't know.
Yeah. So anyway, for those of you who are just listening today, favorite is not the same thing as best. As in, I could recognize that, you know, the first Matrix movie might be my favorite movie. But at the same time, Citizen Kane, which I can't stand to watch, might be the best movie. Do you see the difference?
If not, well, whatever.
Yes, but this week is favorites week. It is the things we like the most, regardless of their quality.
Yeah, because I got to say, especially when we get to anime day, we'll both admit that we like some crap.
Yeah, we like a lot of crap. I mean, no one really likes the stuff that's the best. That's why we have the word movie and the word film.
I really, really like Cowboy Bebop, and it's also the best.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. But I'm saying not always.
All right, I'll also note that, people who really make the distinction between film and movie, Yeah.
Yeah. Those people are not the best, nor are they my favorites. Okay. So today we're going to do favorite hardware.
That sounds very generic, but what do you want?
We're talking about all sorts of gadgets, gizmos, computers, electronic stuff that is our favorite stuff.
Now, when I was a little kid, and I'm sure you've seen them, they used to sell them at Radio Shack all over the place, but I had this little kit that was full of resistors and capacitors and diodes and a little breadboard and batteries and speakers, and it was a little electronics kind of workshop. And I learned almost everything I know about electronics today from having that thing when I was a little kid. And I think I would rank it as the best technological or hardware-based toy I've ever had.
Wow.
Also my favorite.
Wow, that's quite a bit.
Well, let's see. With that thing, I learned how to solder. I learned how to make an alarm for my room, which did nothing but piss my mother off.
I also made a room alarm out of simple electronics.
See, first I made one. I wasn't too clever, where basically the wires had to be touching. Or it wouldn't go off.
Oh, I had ones with like little like depressing buttons where like if the door moved, it would go off. Or if the door hit it, it would go off.
See, I ended up setting it up with a mercury switch. So if you turn the door knob, it would go off.
Ooh.
Yeah, and you know what? I set it up so if it went off, not only would it not turn off, but it had multiple power sources.
Ooh.
Yeah, my mom didn't like that one whit.
No. Okay. Let's see. If we're going to start with the young days.
Yeah, the educational, fun, young, technological hardware.
You know what? I got to go with the Erector Set.
See, I only had one Erector Set ever, and I got it kind of late in my life.
You see, I got the Erector Set. I didn't have the Erector Set from the store. Not that wussy piece of junk. I had my, like, uncle's, like, ancient 1950s Erector Set.
The metal ones?
It was completely metal. It came in a metal box with metal tools, and every single piece inside was metal. Metal, 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 metal. And it came with screws and bolts, and all you did was screw and use screws to connect metal things to make stuff. It was freaking awesome. The thing is, I never really got any other Erector stuff because I got it in that interim period where Erector really wasn't available. And then Erector sets came out again, and I got one helicopter, but it wasn't quite the same. So I never really, you know, and it was a 1950 set. I couldn't really get a lot of compatible stuff. So Lego ended up winning out, which I could just keep getting more of.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about Lego, but...
Yeah, but Erector let you make some really cool stuff that you couldn't make with other things, especially things that worked. Like, mechanical things that work, like, better than Technic could ever.
Yeah.
Except you needed more pieces, and it was more expensive, and it was metal and dangerous. Erector is the shit. Is it still out? Can you still get Erector sets?
I don't know. I mean, when I got older, I remember I had, like, Kinects, and I remember when I was younger, Tinker Toys.
Yeah, but... Erector set is the original real deal, and we're talking hardware, so I got to go with that one.
All right.
All right, let's move ahead a few years. I got to say, let's start getting to where computers are at.
All right, I remember my 486 SX2.
I'm going earlier. I'm going with the Apple II GS.
See, surprisingly, my 486 SX2 was my first computer.
My 486 DX4 was my first computer.
Never had an Apple II GS.
I never had an Apple II GS.
Never had a Commodore.
My cousins all had Commodores.
First time I ever used a computer was in fifth grade.
First time I ever used a computer was in kindergarten. There was an Apple IIe. It was awesome. Because other kids couldn't figure out how to use it. Teachers couldn't figure out how to use it. I sat down and I figured it out just in 2 seconds from looking at it and looking at the keyboard and looking at what was there. And I was like, oh, that's what you do.
See, I went to a Catholic school and they had one room with four Apple computers in it. And that was for the older kids, so I was never allowed to go in there.
Oh, see, in my elementary school, every single classroom had, well, most of the classrooms had an Apple II in them, and there was one lab full of Apple IIs, and then I think that lab was quickly upgraded to all Macs, like Mac 512Ks.
Yeah, when I got to fifth grade, there was a 386 in the back of the room, and I remember kids who didn't know anything about computers. I remember this one kid, Dustin. He opened some WordPad-y kind of editor thing. And he scrolled down like 100 pages, he typed a naughty word, and then he closed it, thinking that it would be there when someone reopened it.
Ha 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 ha.
Ah, kids.
Yeah, so smart. No, but the Apple II GS is like the pinnacle of old school, elementary school times computing. I mean, the GS really does stand for graphics and sound. This thing was an Apple II, just like those green screen Apple IIs you played Oregon Trail on. Is the exact same computer, only the screen was in color, like a lot of colors. And the sound, rivals the sound on, like, the Sound Blaster 16, if not better.
See, at that point in my life, I was still pretty much a Nintendo kid and a Nintendo kid alone.
Oh, yeah. I was still playing Nintendo in those days. Yeah. But in school, the Apple IIgs is recognized as the computer. And I would, you know, I did a lot of, like, summer programs, or I would go in and use the computers at the school and all kinds of cool stuff. So I knew, you know, I learned Logo on those things. And the Apple IIgs was always the best computer because it wasn't, you know, a Mac with a mouse and stuff. It was still an Apple II through and through, but it was the baddest-ass, most powerful Apple II you could get. There are people who still use these things today as their primary computing platform.
Wow.
They have TCP/IP stacks for these things. They have AIM. They have Wolfenstein 3D. They have CD burners. You can trick these things out. It was crazy. I actually have one in the other room, I think, and I have a card that goes in it that gives it 4 megabytes of memory. 4.
Now, he's turned this thing on once or twice, and the rest of the time it just sits there.
That's because I need to get more 5 1/4 floppies to get software on it. That's the only reason. If I can get the good software, I'd be all over it. But, like, my Oregon Trail disk is broken a little bit.
You know, I could probably get you some 5 1/4 floppies.
Yeah, I need a 5 1/4 floppy drive to plug into
They're
my...
They're not hard to find.
To plug into my normal computer.
Yeah.
And then I need to get images...
You plug it into that that second slot on your floppy cable.
Yeah, then I need to get some images of games and things to put on the floppies from the internet.
I'm sure those are readily available.
And then I got to use the DD command to put the images onto the 5 1/4 floppy drives.
All right, then do all that.
I would if I wasn't busy doing other stuff.
See, for me, computing didn't explode until 5th grade when suddenly school had a computer. I used it. I liked it. I started staying after school to play Scorched Earth with all these other kids.
Holy crap.
Yeah, pretty much every Monday I remember I'd stay after school, especially in 6th grade, until like 6 at night just playing Scorched Earth or Stunts 4D Racing cracked by Killfit.
Yeah, we didn't really play... The games we played at school are mostly the Apple-type games, a little Carmen Sandiego action, Oregon Trail action. There was this one game where you had to, what was the guy, Dr. Livingston? You had to, like, find him. That was a crazy game. I wish I could find it. It's kind of rare.
Yeah, we had King's Quest 1 as well.
Yeah, we didn't have the PCs at all, so nothing going on there until I got the 486 DX4, which was not one of my favorite hardwares, so I'm not going to talk about it.
Yeah, though I can say something interesting, that for 3 generations of computers that I owned, every time I bought a new computer, I exactly quadrupled the processing power and quadrupled the RAM. Like,
wow.
Exactly. First, I had the 486 SX2, then I got the Pentium 200, and then I got my 800 megahertz Athlon.
Well, yeah, quadruple.
Yeah, and the RAM quadrupled the same.
See, I had a 486 DX4 100 megahertz, which is not my favorite computer. It was actually quite an unpleasant computer. Then I got my perhaps favorite computer, even though it doesn't hold up today in terms of power, was my Pentium 3 450. Now, my favorite thing about the Pentium 3 450 was not the Pentium 3, nor was it the 256 megabytes of PC100 RAM.
How about that loud-ass, horrible hard drive cooler you had stuck in the front?
No, it's not the horrible hard drive cooler that I added later.
I hated that thing so much.
It was the ABIT BX6 R2 motherboard. Now, the thing about this motherboard is that it's just so incredibly badass that it's every motherboard, like, since then, should look at this one for how to be a good motherboard.
This motherboard is one of the most stable platforms I've ever witnessed.
The BX chipset is just the most unbelievable chipset ever created.
Now, Scott and I are not the only ones who say this. We have many friends who have independently of us come to this conclusion.
Yes. I still have the motherboard, and it is still excellent. And if I found a better Pentium 3 to put in it, a slot 1 processor, then I'd be good to go with some awesome action.
See, my favorite computer would be the first one I ever built. I learned a lot about computers, and then the summer of 2000, right before I went to RIT, I dropped almost $4,000 on the baddest-ass computer the world had seen. I got a SCSI card and a CD burner that went with it so I could burn CDs without using my CPU. I had a pile of RAM, an 800 megahertz processor. I bought the toppest, top-of-the-line video card you could get for gaming, the GeForce 2 GTS. Now, the funny part about this is that I used the computer for so long, and I'm still using that computer, and it's what I'm recording the podcast on right now.
Well, you upgraded the motherboard and the CPU
and stuff. The motherboard and CPU only because the previous motherboard exploded.
Obviously, it was not as good as the BX.
Yeah, well, I overclocked the hell out of that thing.
I overclocked the BX. The BX could bring the front side bus up to 133. It was the first motherboard that could do that reliably.
All right, well, you know what else did it in? Remember the capacitor mishap?
Yep.
My motherboard was affected by that.
Yeah, again, the BX, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. The thing is, back then, overclocking was awesome. Now, nowadays, I see all these kids who overclock their computer, and really, what are you doing? What are you doing? It doesn't get you anything anymore. Back then, I had 800 megahertz processor with 100 megahertz front side bus. If I upped my front side bus to 133, my computer was screaming, like noticeable performance increases. If you overclock a modern top-of-the-line computer, all you do is add instability.
Actually, I just heard a story today, actually, that kind of shoots that down. Some guys at Intel, because, you know, Intel should be anti-overclocking, of course, right? But some guys at Intel are all enthusiasts, and they invented a new cooling thing that's actually pretty cheap, like $50. And if you install this cooling thing, you can get, like, a Pentium Extreme Edition up from, like, 3-point-something gigahertz to 5 gigahertz without even worrying about stability at all. It's just that awesome.
Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts.
It's made by Intel. This isn't like some, you know, hardware hacksaw guys. This is the real deal.
Yeah, so let's see if they market that.
We'll see. Supposedly they will, but anyway.
Yeah. But I mean, if your computer, if you buy, you know, the giant-ass heatsink, and you think you're going to overclock it to get that extra frame per second in Quake.
Yeah. So we're supposed to be talking about our favorite hardwares.
Yeah, well, my favorite hardware is that computer.
Ah.
Which is sitting in front of me with the giant, 2.5 foot tall, full tower case. The thing weighs about 70 pounds. And of course, sitting in front of me, the LG StudioWorks 19-inch monitor, which to this day is still almost perfect.
Oh, we're going to talk about favorite monitors? All right, so I used to be a ViewSonic fan because they made generally good monitors, and it was cool that, like, ViewSonic was so good that you didn't buy it in the store, you had to buy it online.
Yep.
I had the cool little birdies on it. And it was generally good monitors for good prices. I had a ViewSonic GS771, which was a 17-inch CRT, but the depth, meaning the distance between the front of the glass and the back of the monitor where you plug stuff in, was a lot shorter than any other 17-inch monitor you could buy. So it took up less room.
My monitor is a giant behemoth.
Yeah, but that monitor really wasn't that great looking back on it. You know, I mean, I liked it when I had it because I had been using, like, NEC multi-sync 15s until then, you know, which are pretty much run-of-the-mill 15-inch monitors.
Hey, my first monitor was a 12-inch bastard.
Yep.
I've still got it. I use it as a second monitor here. I've got to keep it at least 8 feet away from my primary monitor or it interferes with it.
Yep. So then I finally decided to go to LCDs and I had money. And I discovered a new monitor. The Samsung, what's it called? The ZX15? I don't even know the number of it anymore. But I have two of them. They're so good.
Yeah, one of which, the backlight is broken.
No, the backlight's not broken on it.
All right, the monitor's dim as hell.
It's not dim as hell.
It's
brighter
dim as hell.
Than your monitor.
The only reason my monitor's dim at all is because my video card, the
Even
GeForce
if your video
GTS,
card was working perfectly, that monitor is still brighter.
I doubt it. We should do a side-by-side comparison because my monitor's kind of badass.
We should. Your monitor's not badass. Your monitor's an old, crummy 19-inch CRT.
Yeah, you know what? Considering that it's still in perfect working condition, despite the fact that every other LG product that I've known has just fallen apart.
I still have old stuff that's in perfect working condition. That NEC 15 I was talking about is still working just fine.
See, I'm just very pleased with my monitor. And as soon as I buy a new video card, I'll
be pleased
with it again.
The monitor I'm talking about, the Samsung 172X. They don't even make it anymore, I don't think. It's like the perfect LCD. It's like there's not too much plastic around the edges. You know how like monitors tend to have like big plastic things around the glass? There's maybe like half an inch of plastic around the edge. And you get the full, like, 17 inches. And on an LCD, 17 inches is really like as big as a 19-inch CRT. And the resolution is great, and the response time is great, and it has a DVI and a VGA that you can switch between with one button. It's just the perfect monitor.
Yeah, except for the fact that one of them's real bright and one of them's dim because one's broken. Ha ha!
It's not broken.
Something's wrong with it.
Yeah, I'll fix it someday.
Yeah, we'll see. Though I got to say, at work, I got a hold of a 21, I think it's either 21 or 23 inches. It's this massive, massive professional CRT, like flat screen kind of deal. that I got from a... They're closing down one of the buildings where I work, and we went over there to scavenge a server that we want to use for something. And the monitor was just there with it, and the guy said we could take it, so I put it in my office.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, let me talk about my favorite mouse. Yeah.
Whatever. Mice are mice.
No. So, I currently have the Logitech MX-1000 laser mouse. It's not really my favorite mouse, I gotta be honest. I mean, it has a lot of buttons, and it's the most useful. But my favorite mouse was the one I have downstairs, the Logitech Wingman gaming mouse. It's just three buttons and an extra big ball. Now, back in the day, before optical mice existed, and before you needed a scroll wheel on your mouse, this thing was like the baddest motherfucker.
Yeah, but you know what? I need a scroll wheel.
Well, now you do. That's why you can't really use it anymore. But in the day, like, I enjoyed that mouse then more than I enjoy my current mouse now. Like, it had three buttons that actually all worked and clicked nicely. You know, it was real sensitive. Like, you could turn it up to 200 when every other mouse only went up to, like, 80. And you could freaking play games with that, man. Like, holy shit.
Of course, meanwhile, my current mouse does 800.
Yeah, that's...
Without even blinking.
This is also one of the first USB mice. Like, at first, I couldn't even use it because I didn't have USBs. It was so, you know.
I remember when USB came out.
Yep.
I feel old.
That's how awesome this mouse was. It was like a USB ball mouse. It was the total hotness. And it was only like $40, and it came with free games. Free games I wouldn't have gotten otherwise that I now greatly enjoy.
Actually, you know what? If you're going to talk about that mouse, I got to talk about my keyboard.
I'll talk about my keyboard.
All right. So I had this keyboard. It's the keyboard that came with the Pentium 200 that I got way, way back. And basically, over the years, I wrote things on it because I played a lot of, even back when I had the Pentium 200, I played a lot of Quake 2 online, and I played a lot of Weapons Factory and that sort of thing. So I had key bindings, and I had just basically notes and things written all over this keyboard. Like, the keyboard just looked like a giant mess, but I knew where everything was, and some keys were rubbed off, and I'd written other things on them. And it was full of filth, you know, years and years of filth. I used that keyboard all the way through middle school, all the way through high school, and then for 3 years at RIT, until finally one day I was playing Counter-Strike and it just stopped working. And when I tipped it over, I took it apart just to see. The level of filth in there was abominable.
Yeah, monitors are like the and keyboards are like the filthiest.
Monitors, eh?
Yeah, keyboards are like the filthiest things in the universe.
Yeah.
Everyone knows it.
I mean, seriously, if you did a culture of the inside of your keyboard versus, say, the edge of your toilet, the keyboard probably has more dangerous things in it.
Yep, it's very likely. I mean, your hands touch all sorts of shit, and then they touch your keyboard a lot of times, and they rest on there, and shit builds up, and no one cleans it.
Now, a lot of people say, yeah, clean your keyboard out every couple months. You know what? Buy a new keyboard.
Yeah, if
unless you have a special keyboard like the Optimus.
Yeah. Oh, the Optimus, whoa. Yeah, I clean my keyboards. I shake it out, and then I clean off the keys and stuff. And I heard that some keyboards can be cleaned in the dishwasher.
Yeah, the old IBM AT keyboards. You
well,
want some?
Well, some of them also, new ones also.
I have a pile of like 300 of them where I work. And in addition, back when we were at RIT, RIT threw out a freaking dumpster full of them, and we scavenged all of them.
Yep, and I even had one of those.
We then threw them away a year later when we realized we had no use for them at all.
I even had one of those left over from like high school, an IBM AT keyboard.
The problem is they're real clacky. They're too loud.
Well, I like the clackiness, you know, for me, but when other people are clacking, I just want to kill them.
Yeah, you always yell at me that I type too loud on my basically silent keyboard.
Yeah, it's like, I don't mind if I click away, and it's like freaking thunder and lightning when I click, but if when other people are clacking, I got to stab them. So anyway, my keyboard, actually, this is a recent favorite. I used to use just normal, like, Logitech whatever keyboards, and I liked it a lot with all the extra buttons and stuff.
Yeah, the standard 104 key.
Now, I got a job, and they said they would buy me whatever I wanted. So, I could have asked for, like, a brand new laptop and stuff, but I didn't. I took the laptop they had, and so I figured I'm going to ask for at least one thing, because they seem really, really eager to give me whatever I asked for. So I asked for something I'd thought about getting, the Happy Hacking keyboard. The Happy Hacking keyboard is a very small keyboard, but it has every key you need. But some of the keys are in different places. Like, caps lock is not there. In order to get, you know, there instead of caps lock, there's control. And control is not where it would normally be. The only control is where caps lock used to be. And there's no F1, F2, F3. There's an F button. There's two F buttons, actually. And if you want to do F1, you push the F button, and then you push 1 at the same time. And for most people, this is completely useless, and you'll just want to kill yourself. But if you're the type of person like me who writes a lot of software and codes a lot, this thing is fantastic. Like, I couldn't live without it now after getting used to it. Holy crap.
Yeah, the only drawback is if you're a gamer.
If you're a gamer, you can live with WASD.
I don't like WASD at all. I could talk. We should do a show on the way we use keyboards in FPS.
We should, but if you're going to use WASD or something like that, this keyboard's fine. But if you're going to do anything else...
If you use periods... If you use period, comma, spacebar, or you use the keypad, or you use the arrow keys...
You can use period, comma, spacebar on this thing. Just fine.
Nah, not the way I use them.
I don't know what the hell's wrong with you, but yeah, it doesn't have a numpad. There is no numpad. I had to buy a separate numpad because, yeah, it doesn't have one.
Of course, your numpad is also a calculator.
My numpad's also a calculator and a thermometer and some other things.
Is it a phlebotomist?
No.
All right, then.
But yeah, I have a numpad, and the other cool thing about the Happy Hacking keyboard... is it's a USB hub. So you plug it into a USB hole on your computer, and then you can plug two USB devices into it. And as long as those aren't USB devices that require a lot of electricity, like a USB fan or an iPod, it'll work just fine. Like, I plug my thumb drive in there all the time. It works great. It's fantastic.
So we've talked for a while. Let's wrap this up with a... Scott, let's both name the piece of hardware we currently own that... is just our the best, favorite, most useful, whatever. Top of the
right
list.
Now?
Right now. Right now.
Oh, man.
Any kind of hardware, which I realize is a difficult question as I stare at the compressor and mixer in front of me, and then I look at my computer, then I see my Nintendo DS and my cell phone.
Right now, of all the stuff that I own, it can't be something I don't own?
No, it has to be something we own.
Something I own.
I'm not going to use my computer because I can access a computer at work. I can use anything for a computer. The computer is old, not special in any way. I need my cell phone, but I could buy another. Any cell phone would do. I took the cheap free one from Sprint.
Oh, I have an iPod. I have so much good stuff.
What would it be? You know, I'm going to have to go with my DS.
Yeah, the DS is real good. The computer's real good. My headphones are real good.
Oh, those isolation headphones?
Yeah. They're real good.
Well, take your turn. I'm not going to sit here recording silence all night. I made my decision.
Yeah, I don't want to say DS also.
Just say the DS. You know you want to.
It's good. The DS and the iPod are pretty equal.
All right, I could see that, but, especially since you have a hour commute in the car.
But, oh, dude, the car. The car.
Yeah, your brand new Mazda 3?
Yeah, only because it's brand new. But yeah. Hopefully it will last me more than 10 years.
Yeah, it should. It should. Unless you...
I'm going to make it last 20 years if I can.
Well, I'm pushing 100,000 miles on my Sunfire.
My goal, 500,000 miles. That's my goal.
Yeah, maybe if we didn't live in, you know, the salty north.
Yeah, damn salty north.
And that was Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for our opening theme.
Be sure to visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com. If you like our podcasts, you'll love our forums. Make sure you visit them. You can send your email feedback to geeknights@gmail.com. And if you want, you can leave us a voicemail at 206-333-1537.
Geek Nights airs every weeknight, Monday through Thursday.
Geek Nights is recorded with absolutely no studio and no audience. But unlike those other talk shows, it's actually recorded at night.